It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Quack Attack is back, baby, as we hit the ice for the last time this season, and maybe the first time this season, no, at least the second time this season, here, as we're about to talk about the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, Episode 10, the Season 2 Finale. I'm Kevin Mahadeo, here as always with my Canadian hockey expert co-host, who I guess is not that bad, Melissa Woodward. Melissa, how's it going?
I feel if Dylan Playfair was not Canadian, I would have much stronger thoughts about this episode. But I feel very attacked.
It was a lot of, and I think that's how I felt too with Coach T. Honestly, he might be my favorite part of this episode, I think, hands down.
Easy. Yeah.
And yeah, when he was just railing about Canadian things, I was like, it's a good thing he is Canadian, because now it feels like more okay, because, you know, it's coming from a place of love in his heart.
Exactly. It makes it fun. Before we dive into this episode, I do just have to share something. So immediately after recording last week's episode, I went to look. I was like, am I talking out of my own butt? Do I not know? Like, maybe the US juniors are like decently good and I should be giving them more credit than I did on the podcast.
Oh boy. Oh,
and so
boy.
I looked up the results of the 2022 World Junior Championships. The US,
how'd that go for us?
The US was the number one seed going into the tournament. Canada was
that
number two.
That seems wrong.
Yeah. Y'all lost in quarterfinals. you lost to Chechnya. Just, you know, let that sink in for you. Then, which, you know, is a team that Canada went on to beat 5-2 in semifinals.
Well, there it is. Yeah.
And then Canada won the whole thing 3-2 over Finland. Y'all ranked, what, 7th overall, I think?
Low, so, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's not great. So this is the thing that I cling to when I watch this episode and I see my countrymen being... Mm-hmm. You know, not given their due.
they put up a good fight, I will say, this episode. However, my big complaint is, of course, did the Ducks put up any sort of real, like, competent? Like, how did
it was just Jace.
Happen?
It's one dude.
Yeah.
And that's my main complaint about this episode.
Yep. I think we're going to get into a lot of stuff. But I think, Melissa, you and I might be on the same page for a lot of stuff here. But let's just do our quick rundown as we do. Fast, fun, and loose, the way that, you know, a lot of the Ducks play hockey.
The thing that I have to call out here at the top of the episode.
Yam hockey?
I did not actually count them. The amount of fist bumps in this episode. I'm going to point out a few different times that they happen, but I think someone should go through and count them all, because I think we're hitting double digits easy.
There's
in this
a lot,
30 minutes.
Jason.
There are so many.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Anyway.
I mean, fist bumps are a thing, you know?
They're fine.
Better than a handshake to spread less germs.
I guess it's still like hands touching.
It's just they're bumping, Melissa. They're not. Well, I guess, yes, they are touching.
Yeah.
Kevin learns the definition of that word today, I guess. Yeah.
So Evan, Sophie, and AJ are looking at the list of scouts that'll be present at the Summer Showcase game. AJ says it feels like he's fulfilling a destiny that was written for him before he was born. And Nick says that's how he feels when he finishes a hard Lego.
I mean, I get that, right? Like, there's a sense of achievement and accomplishment that comes with that. I hearken to Spider-Man Homecoming, where him and Ned built that Death Star. It's quite an achievement. You are fulfilling a destiny when you build giant Lego sets. I miss Legos.
I mean, first of all, I know, like, multiple adults that are into Lego. You can, like, still do Lego. They're just very expensive. But also,
no, I'm married. No, I can't.
Oh man. Yeah, good call on that. Isn't Lego just following instructions?
Yeah, but
hard?
Like,
it doesn't seem hard.
It's not hard, but it's fun, right? Like you're building the pieces.
No, I get that it's fun, but yeah. AJ's talk about like fulfilling destiny, you know.
Lego's, I guess like, I guess it's a bit over the top. I mean, yeah. Nick fulfills a much bigger destiny later in this episode, so.
So Jace, Sam, Fries, and some girl from Dominate, we don't know the name of, are playing yam hockey.
Yep.
Alex
seems like a waste of food, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems fun, I guess. Alex asks who, you know, how he's doing. He says he's upset. It's the last team meeting of the summer. Maya's getting everyone to sign something. Looks like a shirt or a towel.
Like a towel. I thought
it was a towel. I wrote down towel in my note. Yeah.
Which was a weird choice. Like, I thought, and honestly, another good part of the episode is how this, I think, resolves itself. But at first, I was like, is she getting, like, a towel sign? I thought it was, like, a end of year, end of summer thing, like a yearbook, right? Like, I thought that's what was happening. But I did like how that turned out. Maya is always thinking ahead.
Yeah, there was something else that I thought she was going to do with it. We can get to it when we get that reveal. Okay. But, she's signing it and Maya's talking about, you know, wondering if Jace will be okay at the summer showcase. Maya says not to write all that when she signs it, to keep it upbeat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sophie's going through a lot. We don't need to sign all that. You don't need to just put your Jace stuff out there.
Yeah. She's like, just sign the thing, please. Coach Cole tells them they'll be playing at the Anaheim Ducks practice facility and they're going to play under the Ducks name. AJ says that he usually plays under an animal that's a little higher up on the food chain. And then he says Alex will be taking the helm and he's just going as a dad.
Bonkers. Absolutely insane. There was one thing where it's just like, oh, we're going to play as the Ducks. I was like, well, yeah, of course. But when he's just like, Alex will be your sole coach. I'm like, what? Why? Like, that's one of those things. And I think part of the bigger, I think, as we will get to at the end of this complaint of the season, is that I don't think a lot of the stuff that happens feels as earned as the first season did. And this is one of those moments where, like, Alex taking over just did not make sense to me.
Yeah, I feel like we've never really seen Alex coaching. Like, all she does is encourage them, which is great.
Right.
But that is only one small part of being a coach. And so, yeah, this is kind of like, I wish that we could see that, like, oh, Alex has been going to Evan's games since he was in what we would call in Canada Timbit hockey, which
the Tim Hortons.
So it's sponsored
the tiny,
by Tim Hortons,
the tiny Timbits,
but the tiny donuts. So yeah, it's for little kid hockey. So
it's Timbit
hockey. Yeah,
it's fun.
And so, you know, maybe she's picked up a few things. Maybe she has. You know, I would love to see that payoff. But it sort of just seems like all she does is stand there behind them all and like tell them to keep hustling or circling the puck. I think is the like one piece of coaching she offers in this. I wish that after all of this Alex had any role as a coach of this team.
You're telling me just saying go out there and do your best isn't enough to win hockey games? Well, I guess this show proved you wrong, but no. I agree, and I think that's the weird thing. I think we did get some of that in season one. I think we had some of Alex coaching pieces in season one. It's just that she didn't know how to do it as well as Bombay, and Bombay took up a little bit of the slack, but it feels like there was none of that here. There was no coaching from her. Cole didn't really coach the Ducks. He coached Dominate, and we saw mostly the Ducks out there today, I think. We didn't really see a lot of people, so who knows? We only saw two people, really. But yeah, so it's such a weird call. And I get, I will say, right, like his reasoning, because Alex also is just like, what are you nuts? Is that he wants to be a dad, right? He wants to be out there and be a dad because of Jace. Here's the thing. There are other kids, like, right? Like, there's other kids besides Jace there. And it's weird to just be like, I'm doing this for Jace. And it's just like, there's many other children that are going to be playing this game, my man. Like,
I mean, I don't hate this call from Cole. I just wish that the, like, gulf between Cole and Alex in terms of, like, quality of coaching was not so big. Yeah, like, I don't mind Grand Canyon
giant.
Yeah, I don't mind him being like, you know what, Jace needs me to, like, not be there putting pressure on him. I'm just going to come. And I sort of love the segment of he's like, how do I just be a dad at hockey? Mm-hmm. But
khakis.
I just wish that Alex had any ounce of idea that she had learned something from coaching alongside Bombay all last season. Like, Alex could have information, and I sort of think we're supposed to just believe that she does. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And it is unfortunate because so much of the season, I think, was lacking in the hockey, which we'll again talk about a little bit more, but yeah. I think this is a unfortunate part of that. And it doesn't gel all the way. But yeah, khakis is how you be a dad, apparently.
Yeah. So Cole tells Alex he had a breakthrough with Jace at the lake. He needs him as a dad. He doesn't want to blow it and put more pressure on him. Alex says she bets that was a hard decision, and Cole fesses that it was hard and he hates the Canadian team and wants to beat them. This was the first time that I was like, excuse me, sir. Like, what did we ever do to you?
Right. I mean, be Canadian, I guess. Be better at hockey. The one thing he would hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also don't own khakis, by the way. I wanted to just state that, which made me feel better for myself. So just
there we go. Yeah. So, yeah, he doesn't know how to just be a dad at the game. Alex needs to help him. Alex says that's easy. First, you wear khakis. She says, dads throw on whatever. It's better if it looks like somebody just threw up on them. So he puts on a sweatshirt, sort of messes up his hair. And Alex is like surprised he looks even better than he did before.
Yeah, the disheveled look is, like, it. Like, it's a thing, right?
Also, like, it's Josh Duhamel. Like, I don't really know what we're expecting here, right?
What are we doing here? You don't dress down Josh Duhamel. This doesn't work. It doesn't work whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah. She says the dads go down to the ice after the game, and they say, good game. Cole says, what if we suck and we lose the game? She says, oh, then you get down to the ice faster. You say, great game. You'll get them next time. And then you take a lot of pictures, more pictures than anyone is ever going to look at. And then you get your parking validated, and that's it.
Honestly, good advice though, right? Like, don't be like a douche if they lose the game. If anything, like, be more encouraging and try to, like, keep their spirits up. So honestly, not bad advice.
The only thing I thought she was going to add here was like, and then you take them all for hot chocolate or something like that, right? Like,
yeah.
And then you take them out for like a food or a treat or something. Yeah. Cole asked if he can bring his whistle. And no, that's not going to.
No.
Dads don't bring their whistles to games.
Also, just whistles. Are people still, I guess they're still used. Whistles just feel just so, they're so loud.
I mean, I imagine coaches still.
Yeah, no, they do. I don't attend games because I'm not a dad who goes to these games. I don't have khakis. I don't. Yeah.
One of my coaches this summer tried to pull the Roy Kent from Ted Lasso, just yelling like whistle, whistle. Cause she didn't actually have a whistle on her.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's only so effective when, this, like, you know, small woman on the sidelines is trying to get.
He's trying to yell. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're at the Great Park Ice Center. Nick says, hello, you sleek modern temple of sport. I'm running. And then immediately hurts himself.
Tries to run 2 feet, which, dude, I relate to you, but, like, come on.
Yeah, Gertie sees the Summer Showcase trophy and says she's never seen a trophy that wasn't the head of an animal before.
Love it. Love Gertie.
Sam tells her, then let's bag it. And then they fist bump, and it's the first of many first in this bump. Episode.
I feel like they should be doing more than fist bumping, but that's fine. That's my own interpretation here. But I love that line, the idea of just, like, doing a trophy. I've seen her animal heads, and I'm like, yeah, solid.
Yeah, that works. The Ducks meet Cam Fowler, who's defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks.
And another real duck, which I'm sure is exciting to some people. Real, I'm a sports person and not an actor energy, but that's okay.
Yeah. Nick says, yeah, we met some Anaheim Ducks before. They're nice. Good peeps. Put it here, my guy. And then they fist bump.
Well, he's got to protect his hands.
Yeah. He gives them all retro Ducks jerseys. And then he fist bumps a bunch more of the players on the team.
Yes. Like everyone, I think, basically. Yeah. I do love, by the way, that like it is one of those dialogue moments of just like, oh, we have to tell the people who don't know who this is. Because like you have Evan literally say, oh, Cam Fowler, he's on the Anaheim Ducks. And I'm like, thanks, Evan. Like, it is just one of those moments of like dialoguing that I see constantly and stuff. And I'm always just like, yeah.
Yeah, this was my moment of confession that I misheard what Evan said, and I thought he said Cam Fowler. So I was like,
that's Googling what I thought too.
So I was Googling, trying to figure out like who this is, and then I was like, okay, I'll just Google the Anaheim roster, and then I found Cam Fowler. And I was like, oh, that must have been what he said.
I thought it was also Cam Fowler, and I was like, what a name. That can't be his real name, right? He changed it, but...
Yeah, and then I spelled it with a U, and then I was like, oh, maybe it's just not with a U, and then I couldn't find anything without the U, so, yeah.
A lot more research into this than is probably necessary.
Yeah, yeah, and then most people who watch this who actually are aware of the sports team probably need it.
Yes. Yes, knew who it was instantaneously.
Alex says they're going to nail it. Besides, they're from Canada. How bad can they be? They're the most polite people alive. They'll be like, oh, sorry. Sorry about the hip check. I thought she was going to throw an A at the end in here. I was surprised that she didn't.
Alex, here's the thing. Canadians, known to be nice. Sure, yeah. But this is hockey. Have you seen Letterkenny? Like, they take that shit seriously. So,
does Letterkenny exist in this universe?
I don't think
because
it can.
Phil and Playfair here, that would be very confusing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, woman, come on. There are two places that Canadians channel their anger into, their geese and their hockey.
I thought you were going to say, like, curling. And I'm like, oh, that's just.
No, although really there's a lot of yelling thing. And curling.
Yeah.
But no, we secretly funnel all of our anger into geese and hockey.
Geese are monstrous. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah. This is when they run into Coach T and Team Canada in the hallway. She says,
easily
Coach
one
T.
of the best scenes.
Yeah. Coach T, what the hell? I see you're still rocking the hair.
Yes.
Alex
he has good hair. Why would he not?
He's got like, it's sort of a hockey mullet going on. I think it's good. Alex asks why he's coaching Canada, and Coach T says that after they stole their name in the unsanctioned underground game last year, he reacted in a way that was deemed inappropriate. She says, yes, as I remember it, you tipped over the towel bin, stormed out of the arena, and ripped a doorbell off the wall and said, this is mine.
This is mine now. That's so good.
Yeah. Coach T says after that game, his life took a bit of a turn. He got blackballed from youth hockey in Minnesota and couldn't find another job. So out of options, he went to Canada. And everything is just a little bit different in Canada. The bacon is just a little bit thicker. The coins a little bit thinner. And you think, oh, I'll get used to it. But you know what? You don't. I have to leave my entire life in the States behind. Both moms I was dating. So I'm just here to tell you, when we win today, I'll finally have my sweet revenge.
That entire like monologue was so good. Just the idea,
I wanted
like,
it to be longer. I was like, keep reading, keep doing it.
Things.
I wanted so more examples. Yeah.
And honestly, he's kind of horrifying here. Like, props to Dylan Fairplay for giving a real, like, kind of menacing, but like, goofy, but menacing, like, I think, monologue. I really enjoyed it.
I did like you calling him Dylan Fairplay instead of Playfair. It's appropriate, listen, right? It fit. Yeah. Are our coins thinner than yours? I didn't.
Yes. Certain ones, for sure. And I think also, like some of ours are thinner, but I think like the loonie and toonie are thinner for sure than like the quarter. But like the dime is pretty thin, so it might like the dime might be the thinnest one of the group. But
okay,
yeah, I think comparatively for like your nickels and your pennies and your quarters, the loonies and toonies are thinner.
Okay.
Also, again, you guys chose toonie. I just anyway.
I mean, when the first one is called a loony, and then you come out with a $2 version of it.
This is why
I remember this happening. By the way, I was like in elementary school when the toony was introduced, and because it's like a multicolor for gosh, I hope everyone listening to this podcast knows what a toonie looks like, but it's got, you know, it's like two different parts. There's the inner circle and the outer circle. And it's the rumor, like
brownish, copper, whatever the color that.
There was like all the different ways that you could like separate the inner from the outer. There were all these rumors that if you like froze it or if you did this, like that was like the thing that we were all abuzz about when this was like ruining our money, basically. This is like not the thing. The like thickness of the coins, though. Like our money is quite different from yours in the fact that we have a loonie and a toonie instead of $1 bills.
Honestly, though, in a lot of cases, there's things that I agree with. Fahrenheit not being one of them, but certainly coins definitely being one. I think it's the dollar, and we don't have a two. We have a $2, but no one ever uses them. I think just go to coins. There's so like we should be getting rid of coins, but there's because it's American stupid. There's a lot of lobbies that prevent us from doing that. Like there's a literal Lincoln lobby about pennies and we can't get rid of goddamn pennies because of this. It's psychotic. Yeah, because
we also don't have pennies. Our paper is like, it's not, our paper bills are not paper. They're like a plasticky thing. So they're much more durable. It's multicolored instead of all the same colors. You don't just like look at a mess of things and not know. There are just so many things about our money that I like expected him to go off on that I didn't think the like thinness of the coins was where he would go.
But this money's a little bit more colorful. That would have been funny.
I would have wanted him to like, go off, say more things. I mean, Canadians love being made fun of because it means that anyone has paid attention to us. Like that's the thing, right?
I was going to say, is it because someone's paying attention to you?
Yeah, it's 100%. It's like, we love when people make fun of us because it means that we matter in some way. If anyone has watched Jim Gaffigan's special, I'm totally blanking on what it's called.
Is this the old one?
No, he's got a show on Amazon, The Pale Tourist, and one of the episodes is about Canada, and it's so funny. It's so good.
I love Jim Gaffigan. I did not know about the show, so I'm gonna have to go check that out.
Anyway, we just want to matter, so I loved this bit. Especially knowing it was coming from a Canadian was the best part.
Yes.
Alex says, I feel bad saying this because it seems like you're kind of in a fragile place, but I don't know if today's game is going to turn out the way you think it will. This is when Coach T tells Evan that he holds him the most accountable. He says, I see your face.
I have to cut my bacon one more time.
I see your face every time I have to cut my bacon with a knife and fork. Sir, it's just called ham.
It's like, Canadian bacon. That was Canadian what we call
bacon.
It
is just States. Ham.
Yeah, but it is just ham.
We also have regular bacon. Like,
do you?
Yes. He could just eat regular bacon. I eat regular bacon far more than I eat Canadian bacon.
So when you, this is one of those things, when you go to a restaurant and you order bacon, what do you get? You get regular bacon? Yeah. Wow. Okay. So now how does Canadian bacon thing come up?
You get ham. Yes, for ham. It's on, the most common place that I will see it is on our, like if you go to McDonald's and you order the like Egg McMuffin sandwich, the standard one comes with like a piece of ham. I don't know
I think that's the same with us as well. Love regular bacon, big breakfast sandwich guy. I've tried stuff with like ham and Canadian bacon. It's just not the same to me. Like bacon or sausage, that's the way to go for my breakfast sandwiches.
I think if I was tier ranking them, I would go like regular bacon, Canadian bacon, sausage.
Wow, like sausage, I'm a sausage fan. There's a place nearby that makes some real, real good food. They do sandwiches really well. I saw on their menu once that they have, instead of, you know, there's sausage, egg and cheese, bacon, egg and cheese, New York classic, right? They have a Spam egg and cheese. The one time I went by to try and get it, they had run out of Spam. And I'm like, ooh, I need to go there and try that because I'm also a big Spam fan. So looking forward to that one day. Spam, we're back to talking about food. We do this all the time.
Spam is one of those things that as a child I thought was gross. Same. And like, I just sort of made assumptions based on the name. And then like, I actually had Spam. I think it was when I was in Hawaii actually. And I was like, oh, this is good. This is not gross.
Spam musubi is, I absolutely adore Spam musubi, which is a Hawaiian sushi basically.
Yeah, exactly. That was the context I had it into. Really
like it a lot. And I think Spam gets the, it's for us in America, I think it's the like, it's like the redneck food, quote unquote. Which is not inaccurate, but what really got me back into Spam recently is that I went to my wife's hometown And her dad was talking about how they would just throw the canned Spam in the fire pit. And when the lid popped, that's when you know it's done. I was like, mm-hmm. What? And so they just did that. And then I had some. I was like, this is amazing. And I got into a Spam kick for a long time.
Nice. Yeah. Thick cut bacon is also the best out of all of them, is in my
opinion. Agreed. Yeah. I think we're in agreement there.
And a maple flavored thick cut bacon. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
no, I want some bacon. All right. Well, anyway, yes, back to hockey, the other Canadian thing.
Yeah. So Coach T is dressing down Evan, tells him he held him responsible. Evan says that they won that game fair and square. Coach T says that Evan can act all tough, but he knows who he really is. He's just a little kid who thinks he's good at hockey, who he had to drop from his team, and it's payback time.
Yeah, menacing.
Evan's had some bad coaches. I feel for him.
This is true. Between the only really, really good coach he's had was Bombay, and he's not here.
Nope. Coop says it's the last time this summer. He gets totally suited up and then realizes he has to pee.
Very weird Coop storyline.
Yeah, I don't. I get him being sentimental. I can see it for Coop, but this is a bit strange.
Yes.
AJ eats a bit of the floor mat, and Fry asks if he just ate a piece of the Ducks locker room so it would be inside him.
That's weird, but yes.
Which is gross. And probably
Florida,
not
though. So at the same time, tracks.
Yeah. Maya's still getting signatures. Evan talks to Sophie about Coach T, how he doesn't need that guy out there reminding him he wasn't good enough to play for him. Sophie tells Evan that he fired her up, and then Sophie checks on Jace, and then they also fist bump.
Yes. As opposed to what they'll do later.
Yeah.
Not as into that, but whatever.
Yeah. Nick comes in the locker room limping, saying he twisted his ankle running into the arena.
He's in a boot.
Yeah, although they don't remember. The point is his ankle is sprained and he let them down right before the big game too. And they're all very quick to be like, yeah, no worries, bud.
AJ's congrats on a season well played. A+.
Yeah, Maya says she hopes his ankle feels better. They all applaud. Nick goes, no, don't clap. What's with damn it, Nick? We can't play without you. What about shoot me up with some cortisone? What about that? Nothing? Sophie tells him to take it easy like she did when she was injured last season. Nick says when Sophie was injured, they did the whole sticks in the middle. If one of us doesn't play, we all don't. Nick calls for sticks in the middle, hands in, guys, but no one moves. And then Nick leaves.
It's poor sad Nick, but you know what? That's not wrong. I mean, come on, buddy.
I mean, first of all, the situations were so different in the sense the fact was that Sophie was going to force herself to play on a much more severe injury than a knee than an ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough people without her. They were literally the choices were Sophie plays injured or we have to forfeit anyway. So they were like, okay, we're not going to make you play on this knee injury that has clearly been very malingering for you all season. And Nick, there's so many kids on
there's
this
so
roster.
Many kids here.
They're going to play fine. In front of the scouts. For some of these kids, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. This is not just the annual state championships. It's buddy, also, you're not that good and you need to own that.
Yeah. I mean, I like how things ended up for him, but it was a very what is Nick's place is a weird storyline to introduce. I feel now. I feel it would have been interesting to have this be a runner throughout the season, but they really, I don't feel leaned into it enough to get it here. Again, it's weird the payoffs for some of this in this episode.
Yeah. So the team walks to the ice. Cole is there in khakis. Alex tells him she's proud of him. Alex says she was wrong before when she said it didn't matter if they win or lose, that it matters big time. And Cole tells her to bring it home. Coop says it'll be the last first period they'll play together this summer. Maya says he's spinning out to snap out of it. Coop says it's the last time she'll boss him around this summer. And she says, no, it's not. Go.
Love Maya. She's great.
AJ points the scouts out. Junior Islanders, University of Michigan, the Kings. I have a couple questions for you, Kevin. Do you know where the Kings play?
No, I don't.
The Los Angeles Kings, Kevin.
Else? Or don't they have a different LA name? Kings. They're the Kings? Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know where the Islanders play?
Let's say San Francisco.
It's New York. They're the New York Islanders, Kevin.
Why did I not guess the other place I live?
Yeah, I was setting you up big time. Although the Junior Islanders, I looked it up, play in Massachusetts. So, that's fine. But the actual Islanders team is New York.
Good to know.
Yeah. I had a feeling you wouldn't know, and I thought it was interesting.
Your feeling was right.
Yeah. Weird University of Michigan in the middle of this. I imagine they have a good hockey team, but this was like a weird collection of scouts.
Yeah. Point out. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to find like the through line here of this, because I thought I was like, oh, it's not like local scouts. I guess that was maybe the point, was that it was like scouts from all over.
Gotta,
but yeah.
You gotta get all over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, you know, University of Michigan shout out. Rich Eisen is back because he needed to see this thing through to the end, and it's game time.
It's good for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
At game time, I will say game time kicks off, and this is where, for me, what's happening? Like, it's this was a mistake on my part. For whatever reason, yesterday before watching this episode, I watched the final match from D2. It is 30 minutes long. It is the entire, like, the match is a good chunk of this movie. And it's so good. It is so good. And just, like, so much happens. And I think this is where the mistake was, because, like, obviously I'm comparing it to arguably the best match in the entire series. But what shocked me is that for so much of the first season, I think, did it. This season, I thought, was starting to do it, where you had that whole episode about turning things sideways and here's everyone's skills. And I think what the previous movies did really well is showcase the players and their abilities, their individual skills and what they're bringing, to the point that, like, each one has, like, their moment or does a thing or, like, contributes in a way. Like, it really lends itself to the team aspect of what the Ducks are. And this was just basically like the Jace show. This episode was very, very Jace heavy, and even Evan, I think, is second fiddle to that. And that's kind of a crazy choice to me, because Jace makes the first two shots, like, he gets the first two points. It's really, really, really weird.
Jace scores every point for the Ducks this game. It infuriated
except
me.
One.
Yes, that is true. We will get there.
Yes.
But, like, Sophie is their sharpshooter. Like,
yes.
Sophie is known. And it was like, yeah, this was the thing that bugged me, is I missed the Ducks from the movies, where it's not all Adam Banks doing every single thing. And part of that is because they felt the need to send Adam to a different team 2 out of 3 times.
Right.
But still, even when he's there, you know, Guy's doing stuff, Jesse's doing stuff, Connie's doing stuff. They're all a team, all contributing, you know, taking penalty shots and or shootouts and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, you see the goalie making cool saves. Like, hockey is not one person skating around on the ice. And it was so frustrating that I was like, you could have given this, you absolutely could have put the focus on Jace while still showing the other players, and, like, have Jace get an assist. He could pass it to Sophie, who could then score. That's still, like, Jace being a good team. Like, all that they saw is that Jace can score. And, like, sure, to the scouts, I guess that's impressive, but it takes him, first of all, a weirdly long time to set up every single shot he does. I don't know why he's just given ample time to make his shots. And
so
the
much.
Canadians are just like, here you go, take 3 seconds
whatever.
Before...
Again, the Iceland team knew to, like, do not give Russ a chance to shoot, and they purposely did that. You would think Coach T would realize, hey, don't give Jace a chance to shoot. Like, we all need to be on him. Like, and even then, to your point, right? Like, where's Sam and Gertie being enforcers? Like, because even then, in the old movies, we still saw the Bash Brothers do stuff, which also Fulton had two things. You could do multiple things. Fulton was a shooter and an enforcer. Like, that's the part that I really, really feel is missing. I mean, I think ultimately, like, right, like, the hockey was the weakest part of this season, which is unfortunate for a show about hockey.
Yeah. And again, it was like, gosh, how many times are we going to say it this season? But it was like, I don't know who the show is for, because I thought it was for kids that like hockey. Mm-hmm. And I think it was for, like, people who just want to see, like, teen drama and maybe don't like hockey all that much. And I don't need it. I don't need a ton. But yeah, like, anything from Sam and Gertie on the ice would have been great.
Yeah.
We had this whole thing about Fries, right? Could Fries do nothing? Like, it just... I don't know if it's even just in like commentary to let us know, like, oh, you know, look at Sophie do this. Like, I was just so annoyed that this was just so heavy on Jace. I don't mind Evan taking a backseat to Jace. I think that that sets up the story that I like, but I didn't need everyone else to be like 20 steps back. It was like Jace can still be the star and have other people do decent hockey. And it was like when this episode, when the game started, I got so excited. I like wrote exclamation marks in my notes. I was like, yeah, we're going to like, this is, we're going to get to see it. We're finally going to get a decent hockey game in this show. And then we didn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I did enjoy about the episode and like a little like things here and there, Koshi being the biggest one. But the hockey was the part. And I think what you said is key, though, because Friday Night Lights is probably the gold standard for a show that is about football but doesn't focus the football most of the time. But they found balance. Like, the games are still important. We see football being played regularly on that show. But the show is about the teen drama and the town and the people, right? Like, most people, even like who aren't football fans, like I'm not a huge football fan, my wife's not a huge football fan, we both love Friday Night Lights because of what they did with the characters, but they still incorporated the game into it because it is a big thing, right? And I think that was missing here, and I don't know what shifted, because I feel like in the first season we had that, and maybe it's Bombay, but there was something definitely missing on the ice, so to speak.
Yeah, and it felt like it just was a shift in the part of the story that they wanted to focus on. And there were parts of this episode that were like lovingly sentimental that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the Coach T stuff, as you said. So there was like definitely parts of this episode. I like ended the episode feeling satisfied, but it was like, as I was watching, I was very frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Evan's all distracted by the scouts. Jace shoots and scores. Cole, Marnie, and Nick are all in the stands. Cole wants to go down there. Nick says, we should both be down there on that bench. Am I right? And Cole's like, yep.
Sure, yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Nick says that they're playing pretty good without him. He always thought he was a key role player on the ice. Marnie asks him what role he played, and he says, the comic relief.
Comic relief, which is factual. It's factual. You need it. You need it.
Sophie passes to Jace and he scores again. So first period is over. Ducks are up 2-0.
Which is a good point for the Ducks to be. I think up 2-0 is a good change of pace, because like you don't see that too often, right? It's usually the always come from behind from go. So I like the idea like they're starting off pretty good and then it'll be cracks in the formation.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
This is the interesting part, because like what happens essentially, Evan's already in a spiral And then, like, a scout comes over and it's just like, oh, hey, do you know, can you introduce me to Jace? Like, some sort of, like, girl at a party. Like, it was so weird. Like, can you
I like that scout voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess part of the problem that I want is it felt like, again, they didn't have to work that hard to be up to nothing. I sort of wanted this moment of, like, oh, this is really good hockey being played. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, the Ducks are beating Canada, but it sort of was like, I was like, is Canada even playing right now? Like, it seems like Jace is just on there shooting pucks unopposed. Like, I don't get what is happening. I just wanted to see better quality hockey. I don't mind if the Ducks are better, but it just felt like nobody was, like, doing anything. So yeah,
like when you look at a lot of these shows too, even these kids shows, I think the effort of, like, doing good the sport well is important, right? Like, even for goofball stuff, like a Major League adults, not kids, but it is a straight up comedy. But the baseball is vital, and they play like baseball. Like, the baseball's there. It's a, like, you're still watching good baseball, and I think, like, those components are necessary, and we are missing a lot of that, especially the fun part of hockey, which the Ducks are big on.
Yeah.
No one got lassoed.
Yeah. The Ducks are going in the locker room as they file past Jace. I loved the moment where him and Gertie salute each other. And then, you know, him and Sam do more fist bumping. Bert Ross, the scout from USA Hockey, talks to Evan in the hallway and he asks for help tracking down Jace. And you see Evan's face fall as he points him out. Bert talks to Jace. He wants to get a jump on talking to him because he thinks there'll be a lot of interest. Jace knows who he is. He says, great, then you know we're the best. But that also means there's a lot of pressure. He wants to check in to see if that's something he thinks he's up to. Jace said he thinks he's going to crack. Bert says he wouldn't put it like that, but he was at the showcase last year and wanted to check in and see how he's doing these days. Jace says he's good and thanks for asking.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, the what happens is interesting and I find fascinating. But again, like, a weird focus. I will say the part that's coming up here with Evan, right? I actually did really... The Evan story is really good.
I was about to say, I loved this next bit. Yeah.
That it really takes a backseat to the other part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind, again, here, like, Evan being outshone by Jace. And, like, I sort of... Yeah, if anything, I just wanted more hockey involved in it. Like, this point at the end where he's like, oh, I'm gonna do everything I can to make you look good. I was like, that's gonna make Evan look good, and I wish again
as a team we got the chance
to see more of it.
Agreed.
Yeah, but yeah, so Alex talks to Evan and he says none of the scouts are looking at him at all. Alex says he's playing great and not to worry about the scouts. Evan says all summer he's been looking forward to the showcase. He thought it was going to take him to the next level of hockey, but now that he's here, he can't get the stuff Coach Cole said to him out of his head. Evan says, maybe he was right. Maybe I just have a ceiling. All those posters of hockey players in my room, I wanted someday was to be just like them, and I can't. It's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to be one of my heroes someday. I've played hockey my whole life, and it doesn't mean anything. Alex says, however far you go, you've always defied the odds, but even if it is, if this is as far as you ever go in hockey, think of everything it's ever brought you. You have amazing skills. You made really great friends. You've got to spend a bunch of time with me. Don't say it was for nothing. It's made you who you are. And Evan says, I really wish I could believe that.
Yeah, it's such an emotional scene. And I think it's so well done and so real. Yeah. Like, this is, I think, what we said before about that conversation that Cole had, right? Like, there is a realism to hearing that, to being the kid who hears it, and then how that affects you. And I think, like, how it's affected Evan here is really... fantastic insofar as storytelling, and the emotion that's coming out here is great. What's wild to me is that Cole never did apologize for any of that, never took any of it back, and he still won't. And that is crazy to me and makes the ending bit with him and Alex even more infuriating, in my opinion.
Right? Because if I was Alex, I would be furious. I would not be making out with this guy behind an RV.
You have psychologically scarred her child, and you see it. Like, it's so upsetting, and this is what that stuff can do to you, right? Like, hearing that can really wreck you in a way that you might not recover from. So, like, everything with Evan here and the sadness of, like, that's like that idea of just, like, you know, his, you know, never being like your heroes is really gutting. It's gutting, and I think it's super, super relatable to a lot of people who strive to achieve their dreams and find it difficult. So yeah, it's just a real, real moment. And I think obviously one of the strongest parts of this episode is this story specifically.
Yeah. And I think the reminder about him getting cut from the Ducks last season is like a good point that I had sort of forgotten, that this is now the second coach that has told Evan that he's not good enough. And like, mm-hmm. that's got to be really hard. And he's got to take it all that more. You know, this isn't just like one team that he didn't quite have a role for or whatever. Like, this is now two different coaches who are very good at what they do, theoretically, saying like, you don't got it. And that's got to be really hard to hear and to say like, no, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
At that age. And like, yeah. So I just really feel for Evan, and I really loved this moment. Mm-hmm. And I also loved what Alex said. I thought she was right that like hockey can be a huge part of who he is, have given him so many things, even if he doesn't make it any further. But I also get that where Evan's at, it's not enough for him right now, which sucks.
It does suck. And I will also like really agree about what Alex said is right. I think it's both good from a mom perspective, but just, it's something people say, and I think it's accurate, but it's so real for it not to affect Evan in that way. And like, I understand it. I've been there very much. Like, even adults can go through this, right? Like, when you think about what you wanted to achieve when you were younger, where you are as an adult, and the idea is like, I never did do that. And like, you hear, but like, look at all the great things you've done, and look where you are now. It's really great. And that's true. And it is true, but it is hard to like still get yourself past it. So you should go to therapy, but going back on that train. But yeah, I think that's the other part too, is that what's so great about this moment is that it's a really realistic thing, not just for kids, but for adults as well. I think it's something that everyone can relate to and people can hear. And what Alex is saying is true, but it's hard to like really have that breakthrough to you when you're in the mindset that Evan's in.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm in a field where you are constantly applying for things and getting rejected, right? Like, I've had so many times where I didn't get the funding that I applied for, a paper I submitted got rejected, and you're like very directly being compared to other people who did get that and who did get those things. And so it's like, there's a lot of like, oh, I am not as good as this other person in this like very material, like categorized way. Like, it's pretty easy, and it's really hard. And like, gosh, the amount of times that I've been like, I am not good enough for this career path, and like, I should go do something else. And I am a adult and like,
yeah,
you know, it is really, really hard as a 34-year-old. I feel for Evan so much that this is his dream, and he is like, it's so hard to say like, no, it's wrong, you're the best, you can do anything. And
right.
It's like, the reality is that Evan is not the best. The reality is that Evan might not be good enough, and he's wrapping his brain around that and trying to figure out what to do. And I just, yeah, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So Nick says he's excited for another period where he feels totally useless, like he belongs nowhere. Now I know how a portable DVD player feels. But Marnie tells him that she might know where he does belong. Cole is in dad mode eating nachos. He says, are these even actual food? I don't know.
No.
He goes to sit right by the bench for the next period, but then changes his mind and goes back to the seat. He goes, dad mode.
Yep. Which, listen, those nachos are not bad. They're also just not real nachos or real cheese or real food. Mm. Like, no, nachos.
Yeah, it's like cheese from like stuff. A thing. You like pull a tab and it like oozes out.
It's real
that, right?
Weird. Yeah. It's real weird.
I mean, arena food is always weird.
True. It's true.
Yeah. It's like hot chocolate and popcorn, I think, is like the way to go. I think Nick's got the right idea.
Yeah. Well, not for what happens to the announcer guy, but we'll get there shortly.
Yeah. So Marnie brings Nick to Rich Eisen and explains that he hurt his ankle. So could he come up and see what Rich does instead? He said, the old injured reserve. What, they couldn't shoot you up with cortisone or something? And Nick's like, that's what I said. But Rich says he's got the best view of the game from right up there. I thought this was a really sweet moment from Marnie to be
agreed.
Like, you know, kind of making this connection for Nick.
And going back to like Nick's roots in a way, right? Like this totally. Was his whole thing back in the day. So I do like to see this side of him come back around.
Yeah, the podcaster from like the very first episode, right?
Yep.
Should we go into sports broadcasting? Is that what this means?
No, I'd be very bad at it.
Yeah, I think I would too. Evan sees the scouts pointing at Jace. Jace goes to shoot and hiccups his shot and misses. Then Canada scores. Jace whiffs again. Mara's all distracted, and then the puck gets stolen from him. Canada scores again. Yep. Suddenly the score is 3-2.
Yeah. Canada gets up because also Evan is literally just staring at the sky.
Which, I know. I was like, dude, buddy. Like,
it's, yeah. I understand what's happening, but like, oh boy. Yeah. And then to add especially like insult to injury, right? They do the flying V. Canada does the flying V against them. That's brutal.
Yeah. So first Cole talks to Alex that he's not going to be one of those dads because he knows that she knows what she's doing, but he's definitely not going to tell her that their forecheckers are exposing their defensemen so that they should split the D on the break. And she's like, yeah, thanks for not telling me.
Yeah,
but this was a moment.
He probably should have told the kids because I don't think Alex knows what any of that means.
This is what I was going to say. This was the moment where I was like, because Cole knows what he's doing and Alex does not. Like, it's so annoying.
No. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Coach T calls for the flying V and they score. They say that's some passive aggressive stuff right there. And so it's 4-2 at the end of the second. And this is when Rich Eisen eats some popcorn and coughs and has to drink some water.
Yes. Setting up his also injury that'll take him out of the game.
Yeah, I thought the flying V play was interesting for sure. Because again, it was one of those things where I was like, didn't you spend a whole episode coming up with your own tricks that you're not using at all? Like,
correct, yes.
Making sure also, that every single person on the team had something.
Yeah, and then we don't see any of it. Also, though, Alex, as we'll see, will get, you know, mad about the flying V later and, like, you know, criticize Coach T for using it, of which he says, like, you don't own the letter V. However, here's the other thing, though. He coached the Ducks for a while. Like, I think he kind of has experience. It's not like he's never coached the Ducks before and then just did the flying V for the F of it. It's a play he's intimately familiar with.
Yeah, to be fair, if I remember correctly from last season, the, like, new Ducks don't do it at all, that it, like, comes out from the don't bothers. But yes. Yeah, it's certainly not a, like, you know, patented move that no one's ever seen before. Which also means, like, you should know how to get around it, right? Like,
Iceland does. They did.
Well, and like every, like, it's always so funny to me when I, like, play on a team, because the offense that you are best capable of defending is the one that you play, because you play against it the most at practice,
all the time,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's when you play a team that, like, suddenly tries to do something different that you're like, oh shoot, we didn't practice against this because we don't do this. And so it's like, yeah, the flying V should be easy for you to break down. It's like not that complicated.
Agreed 100%. Again, it's insane.
Coop says this is the last time that they'll be so bad in period two that there's almost no way they can come back in period three. Alex starts a pep talk, but Evan says the game is over. Alex,
I love
has
that. I love that he's just like, Mom, stop, it's over.
Yeah. Alex asks Jace if he's having trouble. Jace says, I don't know what's going on. I guess it's back. Alex says maybe he should ask his dad for help. She's sort of looking around, wanting to go get Cole. Turns out Cole's waiting outside. Didn't know if he should come in. I kind of hated this. I was like, Alex, why are you suddenly at a loss of how to coach this team? Like,
I know. It's a weird thing. This is like the moment, but the one thing I do like is that when Cole does walk in, I do like that he went to Jace and said that he's not upset. He just wants to make sure he's all right. And I do love that because, again, the show does a really good job in showing, like, how to be a human in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really great moment of Cole and, like, how to address the situation, because he's not addressing the fault. He wants to know, like, just, are you okay? I'm not upset. I'm not disappointed. I'm concerned for just you and if you're okay. And I think that's great. Now, this whole thing about, like, oh no, what am I doing? I don't know how to coach. And it's just like, I mean, I guess that's accurate, but, like, you should, you know?
Yeah,
and
like,
you
how many
know how to deal with kids? That's like, that was your one skill.
Yeah, how many, like, pre-third period pep talks has Alex had to give over the, like, know, you know, the amount of games that this team has lost? Like, she should know what she's doing right now. And I don't know.
Yeah. This is her moment, and she's dropping the puck.
Yeah. You knew he was faking it, right? It seemed pretty obvious that that's what was happening.
I kind of had an idea that that was the case, because I just, why would it just come up? And I was like, it'd be weird if it was just like, oh no, it's back. And it's just like, well, how does he, we don't even know how he got over it the first time. So
yeah, Yeah. So Jay says the glitch is back. Sophie says it's not. He's faking it. That when he really had the glitch, his mechanics were out of control. He was all over the place, but she was right next to him. His shoulders were placed perfectly. The puck was right where he needed it to be. Jay says he can do it. He just doesn't know if he should, because if he goes all the way, he's going to lose everyone. Coop says he's not going to be alone. Once a duck, always a duck. Sam says they'll be there for him. And Maya says they were his friends when he sucked. Obviously, they'll still be his friends when he sucks less, which I thought was very funny. Maya had like three different lines that made me laugh.
Maya's great. Yeah. And also, if anything, they should be worried he would stop talking to them. Because as we've seen many, many times, once you become successful, you become an asshole.
Jay says he finally got a taste of normal and he doesn't know if it's worth it to give up his whole life just for hockey. And this is when like Evan from across the locker room.
Yeah.
The
loses
like part,
his mind, rightfully
the
so.
The parting of the seas to like reveal Evan from the back.
Yeah,
like weird.
How dare you?
Not worth it. I spent my whole life watching my heroes play hockey, hoping one day that could be me, but it can't. I have a ceiling. You're one in a million, and I'm not going to watch you throw that away. You can get there. I know you will. I'm going to be really mad at you if I don't see you try. So next period, we're going to go out there together, and I'm going to give it everything I can to make you look good in front of those scouts so they can see what type of player you really are. I wish we had actually got to see Jace be good at hockey, because I feel like, again, they're telling us Jace is really good at hockey. I don't know that we've really seen it.
Just again, just because you, and this is so crazy because it's just like, just because you can score doesn't mean you're a good team player. And I think that was the point and purpose that they were making with Evan back when he became the captain of Dominate. And we just don't see that at all in this. I mean, we're seeing it here from him, but like, you don't see it with the rest of the hockey game. It's just Jace is there and he'll hit a thing in and no one sets him up or whatever. It's just like, how'd that happen? How'd he get there? How, like, it just is, right? It's odd that they are showing us him scoring, but they really, really are. It's a telling technique. Like, I agree with you. Like, we don't really see that he's good at hockey. It's like they're telling us with just these simple shots, and it just doesn't work as effectively for me. I love the Evan stuff, obviously. Like, again, like, I think it's really great for Evan to just be like, I'm gonna make you look good, because like, that's what's important here. And again, it tracks with that character. I think it's great in terms of like actually showcasing what makes him a good player and a good teammate. But the Jay stuff is just weird. Just absolutely weird that it's just like, look at this wunderkind. And it's just like, I suppose.
Yeah. Because I feel like Guy Germain was the opposite, right? Guy, they never told us was a good player. They just showed us. That's why you and I have been like, no, Guy is very good, y'all. Like, if you pay any attention to the movies, they're showing how good he is over and over and over again, even though they wouldn't tell you that. And like, Jace is the opposite. They're just telling us he's really good, and we haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, and you, again, like, going back to D2, I think we said this during our podcast, one of the things I really, really love is at the ending of D2, there's that, the shoot-off, you know, and I love the fact that it is specific players that were chosen to go make the shots, and the ones that make it are the OG Ducks. It's Jesse, it's Fulton, it's Banks, and it's Guy. And I think that's important because you chose the right people to do this. And it's just one of those weird things because, it's odd. It's just such a weird choice for this episode at the end of the season to be like, hey, this new character we introduced, he's actually the main character here. And she's like, what?
Yeah. So Jay says, let's do it. But there's someone he needs on the bench. It's his dad. Rich is still coughing and tells Nick that he has to go on. He's faking it, right? I feel like he was faking
it. I definitely thought he was faking this.
Yeah, I'm pretty Nick sure. A moment. He talks right at the end, all normal. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think he was faking it, which is very nice. Good.
Yeah.
You're a good man, Rich.
This is like, you know, junior showcase hockey. He doesn't care. He still gets a paycheck. So why not let Nick do it? Nick protests, but as soon as the horn goes off, he goes, Nick Gaines, broadcasting live
right
from the summer showcase. The Ducks had a rough go of it in the second period, but it looks like they're fired up and ready to go, led by number 11, Jace Cole, who seems to have a whole new energy. And the Canadians are out there, too.
It's great. It's great. I love it.
not a hint of bias at all in any way.
Not at all. Yep. The Canadians are here.
Yeah, also Canadians. I mean, again, we just like to be thought about. Alex comments to Coach T that they picked up one of their moves last period, as if he needed any coaching help, he could just ask. This is when he tells her, you don't own the letter V.
Yeah.
So it's third period. Evan passes to Jace, who scores. Nick says that the momentum has shifted. Jace scores again, tied 4-4. Again, like 4 points, not one of them could have been Sophie or like anybody else on the team.
I think one time Sophie sets him up and that's it. That's it. That's all we get.
Yeah. Like, Jace could still be the star. He could still do the most without having to do all of it. I'm going to stop ranting about this eventually. People are going to turn off this podcast. But, like, I was just so annoyed.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on it. Yeah. I mean, I hope people don't turn off this podcast. You're here at the end. You've lasted this long. Just push on a little bit further.
Yeah. Nick asks Rich Eisen for his thoughts, and he's like, oh, that's right. You can't talk. Just rubbing it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Coach T calls a timeout. He says, listen, enough is enough. Somebody's got to take that kid out. You understand? I'm not going back to Winnipeg. I feel like
explain Winnipeg.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get there. But first of all, I feel like the creators of the Mighty Ducks think that, like, calling hits on players is a bigger part of hockey than actually is.
Take out that child.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, trying to, like, injure children and take them out of the game is such a vital part of Ducks hockey. But, like, I was totally expecting a my job moment
in this episode. Sure. I was waiting for it, for it to be said.
What you do? My job.
My job.
Yeah, and then one of the players goes, Winnipeg has a very active cultural scene. And I just have to say, it's true. My friend, who was on Top Chef Canada, runs a restaurant in Winnipeg. It has a very good food scene.
There's a Top Chef Canada?
Yeah, there's a Top Chef Canada.
That's exciting.
My, like, childhood friend was on it. She did decently well. And yeah, she, like, opened a restaurant in Winnipeg. She's, yeah.
Is Winnipeg in Ontario? Is that, like, the capital of
Ontario? No, oh my God. Winnipeg is the capital of Manitoba, which is, like, directly middle of the country. It's between Saskatchewan and Ontario.
Okay.
Basically north of, oh God, I don't know American geography. North of,
I don't either, so I'm not gonna be able to help. Okay, I kind of know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about middle.
Maybe north of Wyoming ish.
That might
Michigan.
Be more- I think.
Whichever's the westernmost.
Might be more east.
Up the Midwest?
The Dakotas. Dakotas feel like, well, Michigan's like the Midwest, but Wyoming is not.
Okay. So yeah, maybe north of Michigan. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, Midwest is a weird term. It doesn't actually mean west.
I know. But that is, like, approximately where I think it's supposed to be. Anyway. But yeah, Winnipeg is very cold. It definitely
Canada
can get particularly cold in Winnipeg, like -40.
Oh God, why do you guys live there?
And, like, when you get to the numbers that low, it doesn't matter if you're talking Celsius or Fahrenheit. It's just very
it's cold.
Yeah,
it's the weather outside, cold.
Yeah, but it is like, the thing is, when it is very cold outside, you come up with things to do inside, and the inside things you do are, like, food and music and, like, yeah, there is, like, a decent cultural scene in Winnipeg.
You got to get there, though. That involves going outside.
Yeah. Underground tunnels is how you get there.
There's underground tunnels?
There's underground tunnels at a lot of places. University of Ottawa has underground tunnels to, like, get between buildings to go to class.
This is amazing. Okay, that's
a
awesome.
Lot of Montreal is underground.
Really into that.
Yeah, the trick to how Canadians survive the cold is we don't go outside.
That's amazing. Like,
everyone's like,
that.
Oh, Canadians are immune
incredible.
To the cold. No, we just stay inside where it's warm.
Incredible. Love this. Yeah. Love this.
Jace is on a breakaway because, again, it's going to be Jace again. Gets taken down with a hook just as the time runs out in the third period. Marnie yells, that's cheating.
Yes.
Coach T says it was a totally clean hook. And Jace is trying to shake it off to make a potentially game-winning penalty shot. And this is when Jace says, Evan is taking the shot. Screw your ceiling, man. Take the shot. Cole tells him to get out there.
Cole never does. Coach Cole never says it.
Yeah, Cole tells him to get out there and go win this thing. We get the Mighty Ducks music, the very dramatic lighting. Evan makes the shot and scores, and the Ducks win. If there is a person on this team that should be taking this penalty shot, it's Sophie. It's not Evan. I don't get this.
Doesn't make any sense. Again, I mean, if there was a situation where it's a five-person shooting, sure, put Evan in there. But no, again, going back to D2, they picked very specific people who are known for their shots, right? Like, that was the thing. Like, especially, like, Jesse's an all-around good player, but Guy, Adam, Fulton, they are all people who are known to make the shot. And so, like, that's why they were picked. And, like, the fact that it's just like, ah, Evan, you go out there, it's just like, that's insane. Like, I know that you're trying to do the thing to be like, oh, you supported me, and now I'm going to support you. But, like, this is the game, my man. Like, yeah. What? Of course he makes it. I also thought he was going to do, like, the knuckle puck or something. And, again,
I thought we were going to get a triple deke shout out.
That was the other,
I was, like, sort of watching for that. And we didn't even get that. I was, like, hoping for this, like, last little nostalgia nugget, and we didn't get it.
Yep. No.
But the thing that bugged me here is that at the beginning of this season, Sophie sort of had this story about how she didn't care about hockey. She was sort of rebelling. And I thought that this could have been a cool moment if we hadn't, basically the moment she got with Jace, we lost all interest in Sophie's storyline. She like stopped having
she an just became. Yeah. That's
yeah. Her entire story became propping up Jace. She no longer had her own like independent ideas. And I would have loved if that hadn't happened. And this moment at the end of Jace, like, gosh, I would have loved if he was just even like physically injured. And it was like, oh, I actually can't take this shot. Somebody else has to take it. Rather than this like weird, like, no, I've been, you know, the scouts love me already. I'll share the spotlight thing. And they would have been like, okay, who should take it? And they're like, I would have loved this of like, this moment for Sophie to be like, do you know what? I do care about the sport. I do want to impress these scouts. I do want to go to college for hockey. And like letting her have had any sort of build up to this episode where she's like regaining this love of hockey and enjoyment that she has of like not only playing hockey, because I think she's always had that, but like doing well at hockey. The fact that like Sophie can be competitive, she can be good at this, she can be striving to get better and like improving herself while like I don't know, there was like this part of her that I felt like we lost in this total rebellious thing that I would have loved for her to have regained by the end of the summer, and we could have had that story actually finish with her rightfully being given this opportunity to show what she can do best.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% correct, and it is a shame that this is what it, like she just becomes basically the girlfriend, like that's all she's there to be. And also not for nothing, if you're the scouts and Jace got injured and then couldn't make a shot, like couldn't go back on the ice, you'd probably be concerned. Like I feel like that's the thing a scout would be like, ooh, how bad is that injury, right? Like I feel like that's another level to that.
And also after we watched him whiff two shots in the second period, which they all apparently forgot about, and I would have loved for Evan's focus to have been more in the third period, where like some I would have, you know, I loved it if it was like, oh, Evan got three assists in the third period, right? Like something where it's like, oh, Evan actually in trying to set up Jace showed how good he was at hockey, which I think was like sort of implied by the end here, but again I would have just liked to have seen it rather than heard it. I didn't need Evan to make this last shot. I would have loved, because I think it's like, again, it's the thing that Evan does best. The thing that Evan is like such a good captain because he's so supportive of his team and he builds everybody around him up. And I would have loved that to have manifested in his hockey playing and them to even have just said like, yeah, you were a real like, you know, it's not just that he's good at hockey, but it's like, oh, the thing that you seem to do really well is like always knowing where your teammates are going to be. You always know how to like get them into the right position or something like propping, saying like, oh, heaven, here's the thing, like, yeah, maybe you're not as good at Jace as at shooting pucks into the ice. I don't know, it was all we saw Jace do, but whatever. But it's like, oh, you have this like other skill that's actually really good, right? Like it's not
vital
hockey
skill.
There's not like, oh, good at hockey and bad at hockey. There's like aspects of it, and Evan's superpower could be, you know, he's always got really good, we call it field awareness in Ultimate, I don't know what ice awareness, brink awareness,
I guess.
Of like, oh, I've always sort of, I can anticipate where all of my team is going to go so that I know where I need to be. I would love to dive into that and have that be like Evan's superpower. And the thing that he's best at is like always anticipating where his teammates are going to be rather than sending the puck where they have been, they can keep moving, right? And he can like send the puck to where he knows they're going.
as well in football. Yeah. Like you, to be a good quarterback, you need to be able to do that. You need to know where your teammates are going, where they're going to end up, you know, and where to position yourself and where to throw to get there. And that's like extremely important. And I think it would have been good to see that. Instead, they made the whole match just about like, as Jace, he's doing the things.
Yeah. And then we're going to give Evan the shot at the end because we need Evan to have done something by the end of this episode, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that all happens. The Ducks win. They're celebrating on the ice. They quack, which is good. They finally stop saying 1, 2, 3 Ducks.
Yeah. Finally. Good God.
Nick says it's another summer showcase in the book. It's cold on the ice, but it's warm in his heart.
Warm
and the crowd is
heart.
On fire. this is when Rich just talks totally normally. So we figure it's a setup. He says Nick saved the day and has a great career ahead of him. And then he goes to take the mic back, but Nick says he has to do the post-game analysis.
Yeah, you gave up the mic. It's on you now, Rich.
Yeah. Cole's talking to Jace. Cole is talking to the scouts. Sophie says it's cool what Evan did for Jace, and it's nice to see the old Evan back. And then this college scout approaches Sophie, which I loved. I was like, okay, good. It's not just about Jace here at the end. And then this guy approaches Evan, and Evan's like, oh, Jace is over there. And he says, oh, no, I'm actually looking for you. He says, Coach Cole was talking you up to me and that he said you had a high floor. He's from a small town in Wisconsin, and he gives Evan his card and says to keep in touch. So apparently this room is very tiny. He's got a high floor and a low ceiling.
Yeah, it's just barely standing in there.
He's crouching around in there. Yeah. I don't know. How do you feel about this high floor talk?
I mean, I know what they're trying to do, but it's super weird, right? Like, it's so weird the way that they're wording it. And then you have, like, you know, this Jim Halpert looking dude come by and be like, I'm from Wisconsin. And it's just like, okay. But again, like, this will be a question I'm sure we're going to talk about at the end about, like, what does this imply about the next season if there is one? And it is like, what is that? Like, he's a small town in Wisconsin, and it's just like, sure, but what does that mean? Like, are we then accepting, like, Evan is just fine? It's just like, then what was this all for? Because I don't think Jace is gonna be next season. Maybe he will be, I don't know, but it's such a weird
did they
choice
move to, like, to Minnesota,
right? So much focus on Jace and that part of it that's just like, okay, but what about the characters that we know? Like, it's very weird.
Yeah. And then, like, my other question is, aren't these kids supposed to be like 14?
Yeah.
So they're like 4 years away from college. It's just this whole emphasis on the scouts, I find a bit, maybe it's accurate, I don't know, but
I guess, right? Like, just have them aware and they'll track them. But like, once you get, years later, once you hit end of high school, it's a whole different beast.
Yeah. So all the kids are packing up their bags, saying their goodbyes. Sam and Gertie tell each other that they're going to miss each other. Gertie says she doesn't have a lot of friends in Alaska, so he better come visit. She says it's super easy, an 11-hour flight and only one layover in Juneau. Then you take an overnight bus to the dock and meet Bob and his seaplane. When he collects enough passengers and the tide comes in, he flies you right on over. She says when he lands to call her, but not on the phone, just yell really loud. There's no reception.
Love it. Love these two. The one kiss that I wish we got, as opposed to the other two that we do in this scene. I was just like, ugh, why can't we get these two shipped? No, we're on the others. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, I don't mind that Sam and Gertie are friends. I like it.
Yeah.
I've
always said we do need more representation of, like, just guys and girls as friends, which I do strongly believe in. I just happen to ship these two characters.
Fair enough. AJ tells Fries and Coops that 6 colleges want him. Coops says this is the last time he gets to hear AJ brag about himself. AJ says, what if it's the first time he hears what the two of them are? Bros for life. And then
bros
tells
for
him,
life!
Bring it in, buddy. And then he goes, you too, actual bro. And he hugs Fries.
I actually love that AJ just all around ends up, like, really great throughout the season. Like, he's introduced as, like, this kind of, like, oh, he's going to be, like, the worst. And it's just like, no, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I was half expecting this joke about now he has to, like, actually get into college or something, but yeah.
No, that's the other. Okay, even even more insane. He is approached by 6 scouts. Why? AJ was constantly talked about as being the best player out there the entire season.
He didn't see him at all in the game.
He didn't a single goal he did not make. All of it was Jace. Why are 6 scouts talking to AJ? Like, it's just so wild. It just doesn't make any sense in what they set up. Yep. Whoever took over this season, if someone else took over, I don't even know. Like, what, they just didn't want to do the hockey part, which is crazy.
I feel like it's still Brill, but yeah, maybe he just had
left. What happened to you?
I don't know. I was totally prepared for this episode to be twice as long since it was the last episode, so they could fit in more hockey, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real weird. Instead, we get more kissing.
Yeah, Sophie and Jace are saying goodbye. Jace still can't believe Sophie called him out on faking his glitch. Sophie says she doesn't feel bad about it, and neither does Jace. And he thanks her, holds her hand. He says Sophie understands him in a way nobody else does, and then they hug and kiss goodbye, and it's all kind of weird.
I'm not into it.
No, me neither. Nick tells Evan that he's the one going back on the RV with her, which, again, was kind of a weird moment.
Trying his best to make his best friend happy.
Yeah, I guess. But it's also like, yeah, but she's like not, she's like with,
yeah, she's with someone else. Like,
she doesn't want you. She, anyway, whatever. Alex asks Cole what happens? Do they just pack up the summer back in a box? He says, nah, I don't think I'll put this one in a box. Alex made him a friendship bracelet in arts and crafts. She says it doesn't track your heart rate or anything. He says, nah, I think it does. Thank you. I love it. Alex says, so this is it. He says, not quite. And then they kiss. She says, you do have my cell. he said, got to say, the last day of camp never got me like this.
Yeah, not into these two at all. Again, he does not apologize once for what he did to Evan. And she's just like, I'm going to make out with your face, though, because you're handsome.
Yeah, I just like don't need it. So it just felt. Yeah,
no, same.
Yeah. Marnie says the buses are rolling out and she still has 60 unclaimed water bottles here. So at this point, just feel free to lie to her and take one. And she just starts handing
I would take a couple. People. Yeah. If no one's claiming them, I would take a couple and go. I have so many water bottles. Water bottles are one of those easiest gifts you get at a company or going to a place. Yeah. I'm between my wife and I, we are just stocked with water bottles from various events we've gone to or places we've worked because it's the easiest gift to give.
Yeah, I have sticker-covered Nalgenes. My problem is that I recently lost my Nalgene that was covered in all my PSR patron stickers, so I was very sad.
Reach out to someone and just get more of them.
I was going to say, yeah, if anyone listening here has an inside track on PSR stickers, mail them to me, please, because I have a new water bottle, and it is lacking in stickers. So
I want a Hydro Flask once.
Those things are fancy and expensive.
They are. I gave it to my cousin because hilariously, actually, I knew Hydro Flask were a thing. I didn't know like what the deal was. I just knew they were. And we were visiting Florida. One of my younger cousins, she was like, we were like, what do you want for Christmas? Around like Christmas was coming up. What do you want for Christmas? She's like, a Hydro Flask. And her mom was just like, I am not buying you that. That's too expensive.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then I went to a thing and I won a Hydro Flask. And I was like, well, let me text her and just be like, hey, good news. Your daughter can have Hydro Flask. And so we sent it. And so she got a Hydro Flask.
Yeah. I think I actually have one too that I found that someone left behind at a field once. So that I then brought for weeks and like posted on like group chats being like, did anyone lose their like yellow Hydro Flask? And no one claimed it. So I actually have one too. And I use it far less than my other water bottles that have nice stickers on them that I like. So yeah, I don't know. So this was the moment with Marnie that I thought I knew what was happening with the towel that Maya had been getting signed. I thought they were going to give it to Marnie at the end.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Yeah, right? I thought it would have been cute of like, you know, thanks for, you know, running this camp for us this summer. But no. Evan says, so we still going to keep up this thing where you give me space when we get home? And Alex says, oh, no, it ends. I'm going to be all over you when we get there. I'm just kidding. Or am I?
Yeah, because she has, you know, given him lots of space this season.
Yeah, right.
All up in his business constantly.
Yeah. Jason Cole wave goodbye as the RV pulls out. Cole says, no way that thing is making it back to Minnesota. And then they, you know, walk off. Sophie asks Maya what happened to the shirt she was getting everyone to sign. She says it wasn't a shirt and it's exactly where it should be. And so we see the banner hung up along all the other champion banners. And it says, thanks for an epic summer.
Yeah. I thought that was very sweet. I really like that. You see everyone's signature. My big question is, how did she get it up there?
My big question is Sam's last name Samatar? Because it looks like it says Sam Samatar. And I was like, dude, your parents are very mean. Why did they name you Sam Samatar?
That's very funny. Let's see.
I was like, maybe it's a nickname or something. But that was what I saw.
All right, let's see. His name is, I'm gonna press this wrong, Adib Samatar. Sam, okay, is short for his name.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
They probably said that in some episode, and we totally blanked on it in season one.
Okay. I swear it said Sam Samatar, which is still a bit weird, but yeah, I guess. Anyway, that was cool. There you go.
Very, very Scrubs. You think my name is Turk Turkelson?
But yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah.
We got a bit of feedback from people who watched this episode and talked about it, which is really great. We love having this conversation. Jess talked about how Canada needs to be temporarily canceled for what they did. Trust you will be dealt with for doing the flying V. That's literally not allowed too far, Canada. To which I say, ma'am, I would like to remind you whose sport this is. Like, you know,
we don't have, you know, we don't own the letter V.
Yeah. And then she included a link where it turned out that Canada actually did it in real life, and the Montreal Canadiens tried the flying V in a game.
Oh my God, that's fun.
Yeah, there was like a video shared in the Discord, so recommend checking that out for everybody. We got some talk from Ethan, who's been watching along, sort of our hockey correspondent, as we've been going through. Not a lot of love for the episode in general, kind of sharing some of our thoughts that the Coop stuff didn't really work. And then another random Ducks cameo, but, you know, seemed like that this was like a major player on the Ducks at least, so it was like a good cameo to get. And he said, did overall enjoy the season, as it seems whether it will be renewed is up in the air. If there is a season 3, what would you expect? Who would you like to see back? And lastly, thanks for the coverage. It was great as always. So thanks, Ethan.
Well,
but yeah, so what do we expect from season 3, and who would we like to see back?
Yeah, here's the big questions. And I think this will serve well as like our final icebreaker as well, as we just break down the ice of the season. I don't know. But yeah, let's, as we come up to wrap up here, let's give our overall thoughts. Let's give our predictions and thoughts about the next possible season. I'm gonna say that I do hope it gets renewed for a season 3, but I do hope it is a return more back to basics of like what season 1 was. I want to see more hockey. I want to see more practice. I do like the interpersonal character dynamics a lot. I think these kids are really interesting. A lot of their personalities really shine through, but a good sports show or sports movie shows how those personalities translate to the field or the game. That's what the original Mighty Ducks did well. That's what like the Little Giants as well. Even like, again, Major League guys throughout there, right? Like these are all things that I think work to enhance the experience in the show. And I think they missed that a bit this season, which is unfortunate because I think there is some really good stuff there. So I do hope it comes back for another season. For me, who do I want to return? I mean, Gertie would be the one yeah, of the new characters, I would say. Other than that, I'm okay with like the OG Ducks, right? Like I think they're great still. And like Jace is whatever for me, unfortunately. I think his story to me is wrapped. Like him and Cole are, that's a wrap. They did their story. It's done. They also live in Los Angeles. Like for Gertie, maybe she goes to a more, you know, Minnesota's not that different maybe from Canada or from Alaska. So yeah, I just feel like that's what I would like in terms of like these characters who to come back. But honestly, tying into like going back to the you know, season one of it all, like bring the Ducks back, like have a little bit more of that. We only got the two of them, you know, the Bash Brothers for 10 seconds at the beginning of this season. And I really feel like something was missing. I don't think we need them all the time, but maybe it was because Bombay is gone, but something was missing. And I feel like it was the Ducks of it all. And we ended up losing a little bit of that. What about you? What are you for season 3? What are your thoughts there? And who would you want to see?
Yeah, I would still, like, I still wouldn't mind getting Logan and Lauren back from that first season. Yeah. You know, if they're going to be back in Minnesota, like, theoretically, they're still around and they could just say, like, oh, yeah, too bad you couldn't join us at summer camp, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. But, like, oh, it turns out you still live here. I don't know how realistic that is. I do love Gertie. She's definitely my favorite of the additions, for sure. I would like season 3 to be more about, more hockey focused. And yeah, like some of the nostalgia, like I said, like I think at the end there, even with like the triple deek, like there's a way, even if you can't get the actors, there's a way of like alluding to it and giving us those hints of nostalgia in other ways and making those like references that will be like, oh, that's from the first movie or whatever. And like, it sort of feels like it's trying so hard to be its own thing now that it's like, it's distanced itself so much that I was like, well, I don't need you to distance. Like, you can be your own show. We love these new characters. Like, I'm very all in on the current Ducks, but you could still also like give us those little nostalgia nuggets and we would lap it up. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I feel like Jason, like the Coles are going to move to Minnesota if they like, if those two actors are back in for the next season, like I could totally see it. And I don't really want it, but I'm curious what the like next storyline would be, right? They've sort of been to the state championships. Now they've been to the summer camp. Corey in the Discord has a prediction. He says, I think I see a little time jump for the kids are now in college or whatever. They come home for a vacation or something, and whatever happens there bleeds back into their lives wherever they're at. So kind of predicting a time jump that now we're talking about college and maybe
they
some
certainly
of them
all will hit through puberty by this point.
Yeah.
They're all and some going through it right now in this season.
Yeah. Maybe some of them are playing college hockey. I feel like, I don't know how old these actors are. I feel like that's like quite the age.
They're like 15. I think they're like 15 or 16. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess like not quite 18. I wouldn't mind seeing them be like grade 12 at this point and like, okay, where are we going to go to college? Like sort of that build up and, oh, this is our last year of eligibility in junior hockey. And so like, maybe that has some implications. I don't know. So I guess we could see more of that. It'll be interesting. I think that if we're going, I'm assuming we're back in Minnesota for the third season, if there is one, which I think I'm fine with. I just want there to like be more hockey in this show about hockey.
Yeah, I think that's the really big sentiment here. And I agree with the nostalgia thing. There is a way to, like, when you just do an overabundance of nostalgia, I don't think it works. But there is a way to do it, to your point, to even just these little references that could work, that could make you feel, like, excited about it, right? Like, I think there's a difference between just directly, bad nostalgia is just like, hey, look, here's the thing you like. And they're just holding it up and showing it to you and be like, clap. And that's bad. Versus like a reference or like something subtle that I think can work really well. Like doing the triple deek, I think would have been a great reference that would be nostalgic, that wouldn't be like in your face because they're just showing you a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like it is showing us, but not, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it was now because there's too much content in the world, but there was something I was looking at recently and possibly that podcasted about, honestly, where I was like, oh, this did nostalgia so well because it was more of a referential. It was more of showing like a small thing that you're just like, oh yeah, this was this. And it wasn't just beating you over the head with the nostalgia. And I thought it was done really well. Now I can't remember what the hell it is, but it's the world we live in now. Too much content, too many shows. It just goes right over my head after a minute.
Yeah. But yeah, this last episode, I felt like I really enjoyed Coach T. Some of these emotional beats with Evan, I really loved. But I just felt sort of like the emphasis on Jace was really weird. The lack of emphasis on Sophie and some of the other Ducks was weird. And so, it's certainly not like my favorite episode of the season and probably, you know, not the way that I would have wanted it to end, but I'm still not out on this show. Like, I still think that season three will be interesting. And I'm very, like, I really love the new characters that we've got. You know, I thought that like this season, getting to see more of Maya, Coop and Sam.
Yes.
Who, you know, we didn't get quite as much of that first season. We really got Evan and Nick and Sophie. And so now we've kind of fleshed out those characters a bit. And so I'm excited to go back and continue to see those characters. I think that they're really great. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, agreed wholeheartedly there that I think overall, I did like a lot of this season. I liked a lot of the character stuff they did. It was missing the hockey. And I do think comparatively they fumbled the finale versus the first season, which I think did a really good job with it. So like that's sort of where I am on this season as well, right? Like that was pretty good, a lot of great stuff, but the ending was left me wanting. I do hope there's a season three, not just because I would love to continue with the show and keep seeing these characters, but of course then we'll likely be back to talk more about it.
Because you and I talk to each other so little as is.
Well. But that's what I was going to say. That this may be it for this podcast for now. We might be heading off, you know, the ice, but Melissa and I are still doing stuff. If you enjoy listening to us, you could check us out traveling space and time versus skating on the ice over on the Who A podcast, where we're talking about Doctor Who. We're about to finish the second season of New Who, David Tennant's first season. We're about to do the final two episodes there, but you can obviously go back and catch up on ones that you maybe have missed. We did Girl in the Fireplace, which was one of my favorite episodes, I think, of all time. Not my favorite of all time, but one of for sure. It's in the running for me. We just talked about the first Big Return of the Cybermen. So check out that Who A podcast. You can also find us, Melissa, on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. What are we doing over there?
Yeah, so Kevin and I both play in a space-based D&D campaign where we fly around and pretend to be space adventurers. So it's very fun. So twitch.tv/DMPhilly, or you can find old episodes on Rich's YouTube channel. So just search DMPhilly on YouTube. So yeah, if Kevin and I are entertaining for you at all, there's plenty of places to find us.
That's right. But that'll be it for the Mighty Ducks Game Changers podcast. This has been a lot of fun. It was great talking about this. And hopefully we will see you all on the ice next year. Until then, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, eh?